Imagine for a second that you're staring down the barrel of a massive software release.
Oh, the absolute dread.
Right. And I don't mean a simple bug fix either. I mean, think about your own workflow when you have this like serious, high-stress, production-level checklist just staring you in the
Oh,
face.
yeah, the kind that ruins your weekend.
Exactly. You need to implement tiered input validation for a user onboarding flow.
Which is already annoying.
Right. And then you have to package that code, deploy it to the cloud, monitor it, and then based on real live user data, you actually have to iterate on those validation limits.
And that's just the coding part.
Yeah, exactly. Because meanwhile, you have to update like six different documentation files so your team doesn't get completely lost.
Which nobody ever wants to do.
Never. You got to write a comprehensive change log, tag a release version, run a full code base audit, and then fix whatever absolute nightmare bugs that audit inevitably unearths.
Right, before you finally push everything to production.
Exactly. I mean, just thinking about that entire sequence out loud is exhausting.
Well, yeah, because in a traditional development environment, that sequence represents an absolute gauntlet.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at code, test, commit, document, lint, review, fix, merge, release.
It's just step after step.
Yeah, and all of those steps are heavily serialized.
Right.
One absolutely has to finish before the next one can even begin.
Yeah.
So for a highly disciplined developer operating in a total vacuum, that is a completely full day's work
At best.
at best. But let's be realistic about how work actually happens in the real world.
Yeah, with all the distractions.
Right. When you factor in the cognitive drain of, context switching, answering random Slack messages, and just waiting for deployment windows, that checklist is easily 2 full days of intense labor.
2 days of just holding all that fragile context in your head, right? Just terrified you're going to drop some crucial piece of the puzzle.
Exactly.
But so the source material we're looking at today completely shatters that expected timeline. We are doing a deep dive into a developer's log from February 2026.
Yeah, this log is wild.
It really is. The post is titled Three Modes, One Session, Ship Everything, and it lays out exactly how this daunting checklist for a project called Mio version Verit 0.3 was executed.
And spoiler alert, it wasn't 2 days.
No, not 2 days, not even 1 day. The entire life cycle was completed in exactly 26 minutes of active time.
Which is just, I mean, the sheer compression of time there is staggering.
Yeah.
But what we really need to focus on is the actual mechanism behind it. They didn't achieve this by simply typing faster,
Right?
or just utilizing a standard AI coding assistant to, like, autocomplete some boilerplate functions. The developer fundamentally restructured the architecture of how human work is actually executed.
Yeah, and our mission for this deep dive goes way beyond just marveling at an AI writing code at warp speed. We are going to unpack a massive paradigm shift in the human workflow.
A total shift.
The source document calls it mixed mode orchestration. And this is the specific moment where the traditional one step at a time sequential pipeline just completely collapses into parallel streams of work. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Right, so to really grasp the mechanics of mixed mode orchestration, we have to isolate the three distinct modes the developer actually utilized.
Okay.
The session kicked off with a very concrete, relatable problem using what the author calls direct mode.
Direct mode, got it.
Yeah, so the developer was building a Telegram bot called Mio, and the bot had this onboarding flow that asked users for their nickname, their hobbies, and their personality preferences.
Okay, pretty standard stuff.
Standard, right.
Yeah.
But the architecture had a major flaw. All of these free text inputs were sharing a single universal maximum limit of 500 characters.
Oh, wow. Which, if you think about it from a UX standpoint, is completely absurd.
Go
I
ahead.
mean, imagine signing up for a service and the system happily lets your first name be an essay of 500 characters.
It's
You are
ridiculous.
just begging for database clutter or, malicious inputs or, at the very least, incredibly weird UI bugs when the screen tries to actually render that massive name.
Oh, yeah, it would break the whole layout. And the developer saw the exact same red flags.
Yeah.
So they engaged Claude Code directly.
Okay.
They pointed out the problem in plain English, and the AI read the onboarding code, identified every single instance of the input fields, and dynamically implemented a two-tier system.
Okay, so what did that look like?
Well, it applied a strict 50-character limit for the short inputs, like names and hobbies,
Makes sense.
but it intelligently kept the 500-character limit for the long-form fields, like those user backstories.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah, and then without any manual hand-holding at all, the AI built the Docker image, pushed it to the cloud registry, and deployed it to Cloud Run.
just like that.
Yep. Revision 44 was suddenly live.
Okay, so the log notes, this whole initial process took about 14 minutes.
Right.
Let me just pause and push back on the significance of that for a second.
Go for it.
Doing the architecture, writing the code, building the image, and managing the deployment in 14 minutes is undeniably fast.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyone who has sat there just watching a Docker container build knows that simply waiting for the little loading bars can take that long.
Oh, easily.
But is this truly a paradigm shift? Because to me, this kind of just feels like having an incredibly fast typist taking dictation.
Mm.
I picture like a tailor adjusting the hem of your suit while you're actually wearing it.
That's a great visual.
Right. It's incredibly convenient and it saves you a trip to the dressing room, sure. But the basic process of measuring, cutting, and sewing hasn't fundamentally changed. The hamster wheel is just spinning at a higher RPM.
Yeah, I get that. And that tailor analogy perfectly captures that initial 14 minutes.
Okay.
However, the paradigm shift really reveals itself in what happened immediately afterward.
Okay, what happened?
What's fascinating here is the complete transformation, the feedback loop. That initial fix was just the entry point into a totally new kind of iterative cycle.
Okay, so the developer tests revision 44 live in production.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the 50 character limit still wasn't quite right.
Nope, it wasn't. The developer realized that, you know, 50 characters for a name is still unnecessarily long.
Yeah, I mean, whose name is 50 characters?
Exactly. But even worse, the new system wasn't rejecting blank inputs.
Oh, that's a problem.
Right. Now, think about how this plays out in the old paradigm. Discovering that flaw means stopping your momentum entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to open Jira, file a ticket, place it in the backlog, wait for the next sprint planning meeting, assign it, make the change, test it in a staging environment.
And wait for another deployment window.
Exactly. You're looking at days of corporate bureaucracy just to change the number 50 to a smaller number.
Yeah, you lose your entire flow state because the friction of the process just demands it.
But in direct mode, all that friction just evaporates. The developer simply tells the AI, hey, 50 characters feels like too much. A one-size-fits-all maximum is bad, and we need to validate blanks.
So they literally just said that in plain English.
Yep. And the AI instantly abandons the two-tier system and architects a per-key configuration instead. It adds blank rejection with a friendly error message, then builds, pushes, and deploys revision 45.
Revision 45.
That entire cycle, from the human having the thought, this feels wrong, to the fix being live in production, took 2 minutes.
2 minutes from the realization of a flaw to the live deployment of the solution. That is wild.
It is. And then the cycle repeats again almost immediately.
Really?
Yeah. The developer tests the new live version and realizes that for their specific user base, even 10 characters is too much for a Chinese name.
Oh, right. Because those typically only require, what, 2 to 4 characters?
Exactly. So quick instruction to the AI and the limit is lowered from 10 to 6. Another deploy. 2 more minutes.
Wow.
So the character limit went from 500 to 50. Exactly.
But, you know, as powerful as direct mode is, we still have a fundamental problem of physics here.
What's that?
Your personal feedback loop is incredibly fast, sure, but you still only have 2 eyes and 1 brain.
Ah, true.
Direct mode requires your undivided attention. If you are hyper-focused on tweaking user inputs for Chinese names, you certainly aren't writing the documentation or tagging the release.
No, you're not.
So to break that 26-minute barrier for the whole project, you have to find a way to clone your attention. You have to offload the busy work while remaining completely locked in on the live code.
And that physical bottleneck is exactly what drives the transition to the second mode described in the log, which they call background mode.
Background mode.
Yeah. So while the developer was in the middle of that final 2-minute iteration, lowering the character limit from 10 to 6, they simultaneously issued a totally separate command.
At the same time.
At the exact same time. They instructed the AI to spawn a subagent, to update 6 different documentation files, update the to-do list, write the change log, and tag the final release version.
Wow. Okay, it's the ultimate form of delegation.
It really is.
It's kind of like having a ghostwriter meticulously documenting your autobiography while you are still actively living the events.
Yes.
You know, you're on the front lines fighting the battles, and they're just sitting in the next room typing up the heroic deeds.
That's exactly what it is.
But wait, I have to throw a flag on the play here.
Okay, throw it.
Doesn't parallel processing introduce utter chaos if the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing?
Usually. Yes.
Right, because if the ghostwriter is typing while the battle is still shifting, don't they get the facts wrong?
Yeah.
And looking closely at the source material, I actually noticed the background agent made a factual error.
Ah, yeah, you caught the exact friction point of asynchronous work.
Right.
Because the background agent was spawned concurrently and slightly before the human finalized that very last tweak to the name limit, the agent used the old 10-character limit in its documentation updates instead of the final 6-character limit. It was literally writing the history of the code base while the code was still subtly mutating.
And in a traditional enterprise setting, a documentation error like that could cause massive downstream confusion.
Oh, totally.
I mean, another developer reads the README, assumes the limit is 10, builds a whole feature around it, and the whole thing breaks. It feels kind of reckless to decouple the documentation process from the finalized frozen code.
I get that, and that concern is totally valid in a slow-moving system. However, this log kind of demands we reframe how we calculate risk versus velocity.
How so?
Think of background mode as the AI equivalent of kicking off a continuous integration pipeline while you just continue coding.
Okay.
The developer specifically noted that the discrepancy was minor and incredibly easy to correct later. When you weigh the cost of a slightly outdated number in a README file against the sheer velocity you gain by parallelizing the work, the math just changes.
I guess that's true.
You're no longer treating documentation as a sequential, I'll sit down and do it later task.
Because let's be honest with ourselves, saying I'll update the docs later is the biggest lie in software development.
It's universal.
It almost always means I will never ever update the docs.
Exactly.
So trading a minor, easily fixable typo for comprehensive documentation that actually gets written is a massive win.
A huge win.
Okay, so we've solved the attention bottleneck. You have a partner coding live with you in direct mode. And you have a ghostwriter handling the tedious documentation in the shadows via background mode.
Yep.
But there's still a glaring hole in this process: quality control.
Yes.
Because both of those modes still rely entirely on the human to spot the mistakes. If the code in direct mode introduces some subtle memory leak, you have to catch it.
Right.
Human QA stops the momentum cold. So how do you audit a code base without bringing this whole 26-minute symphony to a screeching halt?
Well, you remove the human from the loop entirely.
Okay, you have my attention.
This introduces the third mode, which honestly sounds like a concept pulled straight from a sci-fi novel.
I love sci-fi.
The developer calls it team mode, or the autonomous review team.
Okay.
So, with the features implemented and the documentation running in the background, the developer needed a deep architectural audit of the code base.
Right.
And not just a simple automated scan that highlights formatting errors, right? They needed actual intelligent fixes.
Like a real peer review.
Exactly. So they instructed the overarching AI to spawn an agent team to do a full review and audit of the current code base, then fix any issues. And then they said, do this iteration until the review agent cannot find issues.
Wait, they just told the system to audit itself and keep fixing its own mistakes until it achieved perfection.
Basically, yeah.
How does the mechanism for that actually work without getting stuck in some massive infinite loop?
That mechanism is what makes this so revolutionary. Claude Code dynamically constructed a dependency loop between two distinct specialized agents,
Okay, what were they?
a reviewer agent and a fixer agent.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they share a context window, but they have completely different mandates. The source breaks this down into three distinct rounds.
Okay, walk me through the rounds.
So in round one, the reviewer agents scan the entire application and flag 22 complex issues.
22. That's a lot for a small app.
Well, we're talking about deep security vulnerabilities, reliability concerns, and logical correctness bugs.
Oh, serious stuff.
Yeah. And then the fixer agent ingested that report and resolved 21 of those issues.
Okay, let me ground this with a better analogy. This isn't just an automated spell checker.
No, not at all.
This is like an aggressive editor and a tired writer passing a manuscript back and forth.
That's a good way to look at it.
Right, like the editor ruthlessly bleeds red ink all over the pages, pointing out plot holes and structural flaws, and then the writer takes the manuscript back, patches up the holes, and hands it back to the editor.
Exactly. They are collaborating, but their roles push against each other to force improvement.
But wait, I want to zero in on a very specific number you just gave.
Okay.
The reviewer found 22 issues.
Yep.
The fixer only fixed 21.
Yep.
Why did it skip one? Did the context window max out? Did the AI just get lazy?
No, and that skipped fix is arguably the most profound detail in the entire 26-minute log.
Really? Why?
Because the AI didn't fail to fix it due to a technical limitation. It made a deliberate, calculated engineering choice.
An AI made an engineering choice.
Yes. The issue it deferred was a low-priority performance optimization inside a memory accumulator that was used for batch efficiency.
So the code wasn't broken, it just wasn't mathematically optimal.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you see an AI demonstrating a highly sophisticated level of judgment.
Judgment, that's a heavy word for a machine.
But it fits. The fixer agent recognized that this specific finding was an acceptable piece of technical debt.
Huh.
It weighed the variables, it realized it wasn't a bug, it wasn't a security risk, and most importantly, it recognized that optimizing the memory accumulator would require added complexity.
Which could break something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth the risk of destabilizing the system right then and there. It actively prioritized overall stability and forward progress over absolute pedantic perfection.
That is staggering. I mean, it is exercising nuanced engineering judgment, not just blindly executing a checklist until the red flags disappear.
Exactly.
It understands the concept of good enough for production.
Which is huge.
Okay, so the writer hands the manuscript back to the editor. What happens in round two?
So in round two, the reviewer agent analyzes the newly modified code base. And this step is vital because, as any developer knows, fixing one complex bug often creates cascading effects that break something else.
Oh, the classic developer trap. You patch a leak in the roof and suddenly the basement floods.
Exactly. And sure enough, the reviewer finds three completely new issues that were inadvertently introduced by those round one fixes.
Of course it did.
But the human orchestrator doesn't have to stress about the flooded basement. The fixer agent simply picks up those three new issues, writes the patches, and resolves them.
Just automatically.
Automatically. And then comes round three, the final verification pass. The reviewer scans the entire architecture again, and this time it finds zero issues.
Jeez.
The verdict is a definitive approved. The delta between errors and fixes has autonomously reached zero.
That is the power of the convergent loop right there. It doesn't just do one pass and hand you some messy, terrifying report of edge cases that you have to spend your entire weekend sorting through.
No, you don't touch it.
It grinds the problem down to zero autonomously. You literally just read the executive summary.
Right. And having isolated all three of these modes, direct for real-time iteration, background for asynchronous busy work, and team for autonomous quality control, we can finally look at the central thesis of this developer's log.
Let's do it.
The true paradigm shift isn't the existence of any one of these modes by themselves. It's how they are stacked on top of each other.
So what does this all mean? When we put all these disparate pieces on the board at the exact same time, what does this 26-minute symphony actually look like from the perspective of the human sitting in the chair?
Well, the log provides a timeline that maps out the exact overlap, and it is a masterclass in orchestration.
Okay, paint the picture for me.
While the developer was locked into mode one, actively pair programming the implementation and testing those character limits in live production.
The 50-10-6 thing.
Right. While that was happening, mode two was quietly executing. The subagent was updating the readmes and writing the changelog in the background.
The ghostwriter?
The ghostwriter. And simultaneously, mode three was grinding away. The autonomous review team was running its three intense rounds of auditing, breaking, and fixing the architecture.
It's like you have truly become a symphony conductor. You aren't down in the pit sweating over the violin or banging the timpani anymore.
No.
You're just standing on the podium, waving the baton, cueing the different sections to come in, swell, and do their parts.
That is the exact dynamic.
But I have to ask the hard question about human psychology here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Does this mean we just get to sit back, drink our coffee, and relax? Or is the cognitive load actually higher now?
Oh, it's definitely not relaxing.
Right, because managing three concurrent streams of complex, moving work, you know, monitoring autonomous code reviews, checking in on background docs, testing live deployment limits, that sounds like a recipe for mental burnout.
It is absolutely a different kind of exhaustion. The ultimate takeaway from this developer's log is that the fundamental bottleneck of human labor has permanently relocated.
Relocated where?
Well, think about it. For decades, the bottleneck of knowledge work was execution time.
Right.
It was the physical act of typing the code, the rote labor of formatting the documentation, the agonizing wait for a human colleague in a completely different time zone to wake up and review your pull request.
The actual physical and temporal friction of getting things done.
Exactly. But with mixed mode orchestration, execution takes practically zero time.
Yeah, 26 minutes for a two-day job.
Right. So the new bottleneck is decision time. The pipeline from a raw idea to a deployed product runs concurrently now. The human's sole responsibility is deciding what to build. determining what abstract limits feel right for user experiencing the product, and making the final strategic call on when the product is actually ready to ship.
So you're basically trading the physical exhaustion of typing and waiting for the intense mental exhaustion of constant, rapid-fire decision-making.
Exactly. And this raises an important question for everyone listening today, regardless of your industry.
Yeah, think about your own day.
Whether you are a software developer, a technical writer, a project manager, or a financial analyst, what happens to your daily routine when the physical execution of your work takes zero time?
That's a scary thought.
When all the typing, the formatting, and the basic logic generation is instantly handled by agents, and you are left solely with the heavy burden of making good strategic decisions.
It is a profound shift in how we define human value. We've explored a journey today where a grueling, two-day, strictly sequential software release was compressed down to a 26-minute concurrent symphony.
Unbelievable.
And it was achieved by utilizing direct, background, and team modes all simultaneously. You pair program the nuanced, tricky parts, you relegate the tedious, busy work to the background, and you unleash autonomous teams to hunt down and fix the bugs.
And it is so crucial to remember that this deep dive isn't just some niche story about a Telegram bot or a specific AI tool.
Oh, not at all.
This log from 2026 is a preview of how all knowledge work is currently being restructured. The transition is happening all around us right now. You are moving from being the person doing the work to the person orchestrating the agents doing the work.
Absolutely. But, you know, I want to leave you with a final, slightly provocative thought to chew on as we wrap up today.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Something that wasn't explicitly mentioned in the developer's log, but feels like the inevitable next step in this evolution.
Okay, let's hear it.
If mixed mode orchestration elevates you to the role of conductor for these autonomous AI agents,
okay,
what happens when the agents actually learn your specific conducting style?
Oh, wow. That is the true frontier of orchestration right there.
Right. If these systems start anticipating your decisions based on your past feedback, say, the AI already knows you're going to want a 6-character limit for Chinese names before you even ask, simply because it remembers the architecture of your last 3 projects, what happens to your role?
That's a heavy question.
If the AI starts making the strategic decisions for you, do you eventually become a bottleneck even as a decision maker?
Do you mind?
Do you go from being the conductor of the symphony to just being a member of the audience? It is a future we are accelerating toward at 26 minutes per release. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. I encourage you to look at your own daily task list today, that massive laundry list staring you in the face, and ask yourself, which of these tasks should I be executing and which should I be orchestrating? Are you still trying to sew the suit while wearing it, or are you ready to pick up the baton?